All right, so we're live over on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. And what I have to go over with you guys today is something that probably not a lot of you expected that this channel is going to be covering. I had kind of like mentioned it last night, and I said, "Listen, I'm gonna bring something up. I want to talk to an economist first. I want to do like some more deep dive into it." But it's kind of like reaching this point where, in my opinion, yeah, these are my blue light glasses because my eyes are just on fire today. But it has gotten to the point where things need looked at. I'm actually glad Texas is in here, like over in the chat, because I think this is going to pertain to Texas. Texas, what's up, buddy? Can you hear me okay?
Hey, I can hear you. Sorry, I was just muted over here. I was waiting to figure out what your subject is today because I see okay. It's members only.
Yeah, no, it's a members only live, and I decided to do that for a reason, and it has to do with like what Trump and like the current administration is doing. And it's freaking shocking. All right. So I started off by looking at the mineral deal that, like Trump, like ended up striking with Ukraine. What's the name of that mine again? It's like the, like Borhiv. Is that correct? That's up there that we're trying to get it from.
Yeah. It was multiple, different projects that include mining, but yeah, it's one of the big mines that Ukraine has is there. Yes.
Yeah. So here's the deal. And I know I've talked to you kind of like offline about this and people are going to be like, what the hell, but bear with me as I go through this, cause it is important. Like it's the potential that the US dollar is about to crash like 10 to 20%, like not a joke, looking at it. And the US government's like panicking and trying to figure out how to do this. So, US as far as like mineral deals go this year alone. Okay. So check this out. The US government has like with other countries, not just Ukraine, but with other ones, primarily over in South America and several others, has like looked to secure a bunch of mineral rights. And those mineral rights, they're looking at protecting something. They're looking at protecting silver. I mean, I know it sounds stupid. Everybody's like always looked at that and been like, it is what it is. But silver is like skyrocketed in value this year alone. It's gone from like, you know, the low 30s up to it's almost $40 an ounce. And once it reaches 40, it's just going to keep going. But the big deal that I think I need to address with you guys is like how that market actually works and why it's about to impact the US dollar. And one, it's a decent investment opportunity for you to get into now, but two, it's going to shock the US economy. And the United States government has acquired just through mineral rights deals, it's done with other countries. And I think that they're using these tariffs in order to force this because there's this huge exchange here in the United States of America called COMEX, and they end up doing things with, you know, silver, gold, price, like oil, like everything. It's basically where, you know, your prices here in the United States are controlled. And by the end of next month, right, with the way that like demand and prices have surged, by the end of next month, their inventory is going to be nil and they're going to have to go into the reserves. Now those reserves are actually controlled by banks, right? So banks actually, like basic big banks actually end up holding on to that, and COMEX has to send them a request that says, hey, can you, you know, sell your silver to us so we can liquidate it back on the market, right? Can we, so we can take it and push it out. And so what ends up happening is people end up buying like silver futures contracts or just, you know, silver on paper. And these companies like Tesla, et cetera, you know, the amount that goes into a Tesla vehicle, the amount that goes into solar panels, the amount that goes into all these things, the demand has increased, like massively, massively increased. Like 1 month alone in this year actually covered all of last year, if that makes sense to everybody. And the demand continues to rise and go. And so like the stockpiles are drying up. And I ended up doing a little bit of a deep dive into it. And by the end of next month, by the end of August, what it looks like is that they are going to be dipping into the reserves. Like if they just continue on with their projected amount that they have for this month, when this month ends and that carries over into next month, they are going to have a net shortfall and they have to rely on those other companies. Does that make sense to everybody back at home? I hope it does. I hope you guys like understand exactly what I'm talking about here. Because it's a very huge issue. I forgot to turn this over to members only. Like, so give me just a sec here. Because I currently have it set as unlisted. I need to get that up on YouTube because people are probably sitting there like, dude, what the hell? I can understand what's going on. So let me fix that real quick. Cause I feel like a jerk right now. But I want people to be able to get this. Texas, have you looked into that any further? By just sheer curiosity, have you actually looked into that?
A little bit. The problem that I came across is US currency information is probably harder to read than like nuclear engineering documents.
I would agree with that statement.
It's so confusing. And like you can read a page and in the beginning of the page, read a couple sentences and be like, oh, and then continue reading, and then it would contradict everything that it says up on top of the same page. Like that's how confusing the anything that involves U.S. Treasury. I think that this has been something that's been brewing since you mentioned it to me a while ago offline. We were talking about it, and then things started clicking more and more when you see like Trump was pushing for the Fed to lower the interest rate instead of doing like different things. Then he was pushing for the Treasury guy to get fired or resign, which he just did. There's a lot of things that are happening. It went as far as one day he came out saying anybody that threatens the US dollar, you'll be regretting it really badly. Like straight up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mess with
exactly.
So like, I don't know. You think they're in scramble mode figuring out how do we avoid this to happen? Or are they like, all right, we know it's inevitable. It's going to happen. How do we fix it once it happens?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So with that, right? So like when COMEX ends up falling short next month because they have to and they're going to dip into reserves, that's going to generate news articles and things like that. And I know this is boring for everybody, but again, US just through their own like dealings, and this is from like Trump pushing the tariffs and doing all of that stuff, right? All of those mineral rights deals that they have acquired. Because what really sparked my interest after I saw it over inside of Ukraine was I saw he tried to do the same thing with Jolani in May. Totally flew under my radar. Now, obviously, you know, Syria, it doesn't exactly have a massive silver deposit, right? It's got jack and shit. But Ukraine, that one mine over inside of Ukraine is larger than any other mine in the United States as it goes down to that commodity, right? So any other mine in the United States. But in total, so far this year, just estimated between all of these countries, you know, like leveraging the tariffs and all of that other crap, what he's done is he's acquired between 1 billion to 2 billion. Like the amount is insane. It still hasn't been added up yet, but about 1 to 2 billion ounces of freaking silver. That's nuts. This month, we're on track to push probably around like 30 million or so ounces, I believe, out of COMEX. Right. I just asked ChatGPT to kind of like develop a chart for me, right? For where everything's going. And it's insane. So I'm going to put this up on the screen and kind of hopefully be able to make it a little bit bigger for people here at home. Yeah, here we have January. Here's an illustrative comparison. Come on now. So all the way up in July, we're up to like 46 or so deliverable, and that's 46 million ounces. Okay. So these are all by the millions of ounces, and you can see where they go up and you can see where it's done it. Right. And so this is actually a little bit off because May was actually higher than like current. It's year to date. Excuse me. Year to date is where they're going. Anyways, it's massive. So look at the visual representation right there of where it's at. And then when you compare it to what COMEX actually has, it's little to nothing. And the big issue that we're seeing happen here with it is being squeezed so damn hard. Last time this happened was in like the 1980s, you had like the Hunt brothers that figured out that because what the real issue is like paper contracts. And what they're doing is they are selling all of these paper contracts, right? And it's 30% oversold. And these companies are now demanding physical delivery. And you can see it right there on that chart that these companies are demanding their physical delivery. And it's just going up and up and up. And it's pushing. And you compare that to last year. And then this isn't even like high demand month. Like going into September to December is like your high demand months. And what that's going to do is it's going to cause the feds are going to have to, I know there's been a lot of talk about like lowering interest rates, et cetera, in order to protect the US dollar, they're going to have to increase them again. Does that make sense? Like they're going to have to increase the rates. And I really hope that there is.
Yeah. And if they do that, that will for 100% create an economy crash because it is really high as it is. People, there is I just read an article. There is the highest number of unsold new construction houses in the United States available for sale than ever before in the history.
Right.
And people are just not buying because why would you buy at this, like if you're going to pay off a mortgage right. for 30 years working
why would you buy
off,
right now?
And then 15 years of that is going to be just paying interest on that mortgage.
Yeah, right. Well, and again, the rates are about to climb. Like the way it looks, the rates are about to climb. The odds that they end up defaulting are kind of slim because all they have to do is take like what they have in reserves and like flip it and sell that. And with that 100 billion to 200 billion ounces that they ended up getting. I also tried to figure out how long it's going to take to make that actually deliverable into COMEX in order to get it back on the economy. And you're still 8 to 12 months out from getting 25% of that in, like 250 million ounces, right? And that will kind of replenish COMEX, but you're a year off from that. So this next year, like everything's going to be crunched, and it hasn't hit mainstream media yet is the crazy part. Like if you guys can go do your research on this, if you want, there was, I believe one non-deliverable contract in July or a delayed contract in July. If you go and try to like purchase physical right now, like it's pretty damn hard to come by. And, the biggest thing that ended up happening was COMEX when it came to, you know, trading in your paper contract and getting physical deliveries. This is the big sign that they are hurting really, really bad right now. For all these banks, right? And one contract is like 5,000 ounces, if I remember right. Right? So one contract, 5,000 ounces. And right now they're on track this month at like 9,100 to 9,200 contracts that need to get delivered. And it's put this strain on the system so bad that just a couple of days ago, what COMEX ended up doing was they went from pretty much zero, what do you call it, like overhead in order to withdraw. And they added basically an 80% surcharge on top. Or I'm sorry, an 80 cent surcharge per ounce to pull that crap out. And so they, COMEX itself just
they
added.
They prioritize orders, like fulfilling orders? People
no, it's
pay?
To, no, it's to deter people from trying to get it.
From cashing.
It's to deter people from trying to cash out. So that,
you cash out a lot of, it's a lot of, like if you have 1,000 ounces, that's almost $1,000 that you're going to spend just to cash it and get it in physical.
Right. And one contract that's coming great. In at freaking 5,000 ounces. So whatever that is, you know, you add that on top. It's to deter
46.
Them.
$4,600
Right. And so what they basically did by adding 80 cents on top of it per ounce is they are just deterring people, because what people are trying to do is now take it because the price is rising and use it for industrial purposes and or sell it, right? Because the price is getting so high. And by adding that 80% surcharge on top, or 80 cent surcharge on top, it's trying to deter people from taking out, but it didn't work. It actually flipped. And so if they add more, or when that news ends up breaking, and when all this stuff ends up breaking, there's going to be a massive surge. Massive. I asked ChatGPT to determine, like, by the end of August, what's going to happen. Like, I had it do, I think it took 45 minutes for it to do a deep dive on this. 45 minutes for it to do a deep dive. And this scares the shit out of me. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I haven't been worried. Like, I know I've been worried about the dollar and stuff, but with what BRICS was doing, looking at developing that currency that's backed by gold, I think it was like 30 or 40% backed by gold, what BRICS was doing, plus what Trump had stated, like you said earlier, it really makes me wonder what the hell is going on behind the scenes. And then when I see the US government, the Trump administration is putting out, all these tariffs on these countries, and now we're striking mineral deals with them and secured between 1 to 2 billion ounces of silver that only 25% is going to be deliverable within the next 12 months, like 8 to 12 months. Dude, that's insane. Like the US dollar is in danger of collapse. Like, it's not a joke. And like right now the administration is fighting to keep that going, because if this ends up hitting, the other research I ended up doing on this, and this is why I said, I want to talk to a financial advisor. I want to talk to somebody that knows a heck of a lot more about this than me, because if the US dollar does, in fact, if let's put it this way, if COMEX ends up not delivering, that is going to seriously destroy the US dollar. You're talking about like a 25% reduction, 20 to 25% reduction. Like, that's huge. And the price, just if, in case people are curious, by the end of August, after I asked ChatGPT to do the research and look at global demand, plus like new rising demand, plus like the 80% surcharge, plus like all of these other, all of these contributing factors that are going into it, it's already predicting it's going to go up to like $58, $60 an ounce coming up in like September, which is going to cause even more demand. Like that is going, and if that demand actually hits, and it hits hard, it could cause like non-deliveries. And if non-deliveries hit, that's where the dollar ends up getting hurt really, really bad and collapsing. And it is probably one of the scariest damn things I've ever seen. And I can't believe that nobody's actually looked into this yet. And I know Texas, I know you're a smart man. What do you think?
I'm looking at something right now, and I just decided, since we were talking about ChatGPT while you were talking, I was like, you know what? Let me ask Grok a dumb question. What are the chances of the US dollar crashing in 2025? So Grok normally gives you the basic answer, and then he asks in the end if you want him to expand on it. He gives me a very long answer, breaks it down in a lot of different subjects and different things and what's in the current climate of financial stuff. And then in the light, and then he ends it with conclusion of the US dollar crash to crash in 2025 are low, likely under 5%.
Mm-hmm.
After saying numbers as high as 40%. No, right. The likelihood, when it comes to the likelihood of a crash in 2025, he gives me the estimates of between 25 and 30%. According to JP Morgan, of the executive at JP Morgan estimates at a 40% chance of the US recession by the end of 2025. But when he goes further to his conclusion, he drops it down to a 5%, and then maximum as high as 10 to 15%.
So 10%
what
chance.
What he is saying, though, he adds it in right here, just because the US dollar won't crash doesn't mean that the chances of the recession isn't high. And he's still saying the chances of the US economy going into recession before the end of 2025 is right now at 40%.
Okay, check this out.
That means a market crash.
Yeah, 40% market crash chances. Odds of a full crisis, this is after I had it do like the in-depth research on everything, right? Odds of a full crisis, 68 to 74%. Odds of panic, retail buying in September, 80% if comics hits critical threshold and news breaks. And again, that critical threshold is if it's on pace to deliver as much, right? Because like I said, the banks were originally buying these contracts, and then comics is I think it's like 30% oversold right now. So 30% of, like, if everybody cashed in, they're in 30% deficit. Like, they would default by 30%. Like, that includes reserves. What they like, and their reserves, by the way, are banks that are like, yeah, you can sell our stuff, but, you know, if you need it, you're going to buy it back from us at this rate. And because they added 80 cents per ounce, right? Because they added like 80, I believe it was 80 cents per ounce this month to like the deliverable, right? On top. That's going to try to deter people, but it's not, because the price is like increasing. Last month, I bought a little bit of silver and it was at 37.40 when I bought it. And today it's at 39 something, but the silver futures are 39.74. And then if you go over to just buy it, I'm not sponsored by these people by any means. They just have, like the lowest prices that are out there when it comes. They're up to $39.54. So it's raised in 2 weeks, almost like $2. And it was at, when I first started tracking this in May or April, I'm sorry, maybe it was like March, April, it was at like 34. And now it's up to 39.54, and it was at 39.60 earlier. So it, like, and the thing is, what people are saying is the critical threshold is, they're saying the critical threshold is 40, right? Like the mental or whatever threshold is 40. And once it reaches that, the dang thing's supposed to explode. And the interesting part, when you look at it, hold on, that's silver futures. That's not it. That's not showing me the full timeline here. I'm just going to show people this crap. Maybe this will open it up. Hopefully, and we'll just go to all time and it'll show it. And so stop. This doesn't even go back during all time. They haven't even tracked it all the way back in the 80s. It spiked up to like $50 an ounce. I think it was 1981. It spiked up to $50 an ounce. The high back over here in 2011 ended up reaching like 45 or 47, I believe, like 48, something like that. And right now it's climbing. It's about to go back over 40. And it's got like just massive, massive potential to basically explode right now. But the reason it's exploding like is not good. And I can't stress that enough for like people that are like looking for investment purposes or whatever. Like the reason it's exploding is bad. The reason it's exploding is because all of those paper contracts on silver are about to default. Like just COMEX dipping into their reserves and that news that they are going to be sold out of their physical silver next month. Like it's going to all be gone and they're going straight into reserves, and the reserves I think can hold them for like an additional 4 weeks.
That's,
but that would be all of the banks
cash, though.
Right. But again, that is why I end up bringing you back to this chart, because the demand has continued to surge throughout the year. Look at July. Demand has continued to surge throughout the year, the more people figure this out. And so if the same demand for like the last couple months, and May is actually off, May was like one of the biggest months, I believe. If that demand continues to surge and stays, let's just say it holds where it's at this month and it doesn't increase, which you can clearly see it's continuing to increase. Let's say it doesn't surge and it just stays where it's at. Let's say that 80 cents per ounce that COMEX just put on stops people from doing this, which it won't. Just if it stays where it's at, they are going to be out of all of their silver and they're going to be into the reserves. And those reserves are predicted to last between 4 to 8 weeks. Now that is going to hit the news. That's going to hit the news. And when that hits the news, that is what's going to cause like a major shitstorm and like massive price surge. Does that make sense?
I don't understand that part very well. This is the confusing part to me, because as far as the information I was able to get and understand about COMEX and how they work, only 1% of all of their business is physical. Everything else is paper contract.
Right.
So
when we're talking about the silver market, though, it's different. When we're talking about the silver market, 30% is paper contracts. So they have oversold by 30%. People have figured it out, and now it's running out. And on the global economy, when we look at it, particularly things like Ukraine and what Russia is doing and all of this crap around the world. By the way, China, if you guys want some more confirmation, another little nugget that I ended up hearing was China is soaking up silver and paying $4 over spot price right now just to soak up and stack it. To tell you
that
how
means it's time to hold. That means it's really time to hold on to it.
So what I just said, China, like what I came across during like research was China was paying $4 over spot just to stack. And like they're buying like massive amounts of it. So wrapped. And again, this isn't financial advice. That's not what I'm doing this for. I'm not doing this telling you to invest. I'm doing this to tell you that there's warning signs that the US dollar is in some serious, serious crap and that like we're screwed right now. And that the Trump admin is doing its absolute best. Again, just this year in their mineral rights deals, acquiring between 1 to 2 billion. And you guys can look that up. Fact check me by all means, please fact check me and make sure what I'm telling you is right. Fact check me. But that's absolutely true. Here, I'll just ask ChatGPT to pull it out real quick. The countries that we've struck these deals with. I mean, it's in there.
Yeah, I know. I looked into that too. There's a lot of mineral, even in the United States itself, a lot of environmental bills that have been put in place before this administration. He was working really hard in the beginning to turn those around and give mining companies the rights to actual start mining again on government land, because there is a lot of minerals in the United States, and it was just so highly regulated because, again, yeah, it's not the cleanest thing for the environment, but you know what, so isn't like burning coal trains, but you still do them, and so isn't burning diesel engines everywhere, but you still do it because I love how people are so into the environment when they have to worry about the people first. But like the same thing is here. Like I know there's a lot of contracts and a lot of deals being done that involves minerals, and not only silver. There's a lot, nickel. Very short on nickel and silver and stuff like that is used in aerospace and
it's used in
computing. It's used in, especially what he's trying to do now, build the biggest AI farm in the world. They're trying to compete with AI to do what their plan of the actual plan of that building that they're trying to make the biggest AI server structure ever built in the world. They're planning on building, that is going to require insane amount of these minerals to produce the chips and the stuff and the computing stuff for that.
Right. And so this is, let's see here. Powell, the printer, says, I've been in finance for 10 years. BRICS will never go through. Saudis will never align with Russia and China. They need good weapons, not the Timu weapons. says silver is going to keep going up for a little bit, but will pull back to the low or mid 30s once it equalizes with gold. It's not 30% paper contracts. You can get 100x leverage on precious metal paper contracts. Right. And the deal is that they are like, if you go to like silver futures, I believe it's silver futures. Yeah. If you try to go get those paper contracts right now, I just read earlier that they are sold out. Like they're not giving out any more shorts. Like they're not, like they're all dried up. Like it's gone. And so, but the big deal here is like the deliverables. And that's the big problem. When it goes down to who we've been partnering with, trying to combat this crisis, like just in 2025, we've got Ukraine, the DRC, Quad partners, Australia, India, Japan launched the Quad Mineral, Critical Minerals Initiative in July of 25, Indonesia, July of 25, US domestic projects, FAST 41. Fast 41 permitting initiative is used to expedite US based silver miners. A lot of them, like I said, 100 to 200 billion estimated right now, ounces, 100 to 200 billion ounces, and they're not going to be deliverable for the next 8 to 12 months. Like, it's insane. 8 to 12 months. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. And so that is my major concern. Like when we look at this and we look at what people are pulling out and what they're doing and what it's going to do. Tom says, leave it to the US to build Skynet in real life from AI to Terminator. Right. And I, for the life of me, I've been looking at it. I've been thinking, what is the goal of China? What is the goal of the CCP? What is the goal of Russia and everybody else? Like when it comes down to collapsing us financially, and that's kind of what it looks like it's going.
The only way anybody was ever able to hurt the US in general was pretty much messing with the US dollar. You know, that's the only way you could, that's the only, like, because really, like, China isn't going to attack the US. If they do anything, like, it's going to be through proxies and through, like wars that, like, you know how it's like, well, let's fight in Taiwan and support Taiwan and keep them busy here, keep them there. But in the end of the day, the only way you can really hurt the US, like the people in the United States that are in the mainland United States with everyday regular people, is not by bombing them, is by crashing the dollar. And then everybody, the whole country runs into the biggest recession it's ever seen. That's the way that anybody, that's the only way anybody can really hurt, like physically hurt the American people. So yes, I wouldn't put it short of China and Russia and everybody else trying to mess with the US dollars. And now if this is a weak point, if this is a weak spot that it gets to, if they can buy out all the silver so it puts the United States in that predicament place, what's going to happen next? What are we going to do? Are we going to go to war for silver? Are we going to go to war? I think Trump is ready to go to war for the US dollar. Like he said it, he very clearly said it. So like, what's that? It goes from oil to now silver.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to see if I can get Pal the Printer to come up, because like he's putting a lot of comments down there. He seems to be pretty knowledgeable on it, and he's got like a counter narrative, which I desperately want to hear. Says he's been in the finance for 10 years, and I'm really kind of curious to hear like what his background is and his thought is on this. So that you can bring that up to everybody, because truthfully, I look at this and it scares the shit out of me. Like, why is it that the US has acquired so much and like the COMEX market is so dang short and is predicted to fall short at the end of next month? And I understand that, you know, they have the reserves that they end up having to like basically buy in order to kick out. And they also have a backing as well that says like, if they end up defaulting on a contract and they can't settle in physical, that they can actually settle in cash. So there'll be like massive payouts and stuff. And they end up having enough money in reserves, like in order to cover all of that. Right. So that all of that is kind of there in order to prevent it. But the deal is what it's being used in. And what people are saying is that the US military industrial complex and the banks managing all of this stuff. Oh yeah, pal, take your time, man. I'll be here in 5 minutes. I want to talk about this. What they're saying is that the US industrial or the US military complex, because silver is used in all sorts of crap. And everybody has basically been controlling the price of this and driving it down in order to, keep those products a heck of a lot cheaper. But it's kind of got to the point where that has been blast into the open, you know, and I've been trying to read counter narratives. I've talked to buddies on this and they're like, well, you know, the US is doing its best in order to counter that. We're opening up You know, we're making it easier for miners and all this other crap. But the thing is, you know, from it to go to a mine to sitting there in a vault, you're talking about like, you know, anywhere between like 3/4 to a year out. And so the deal is that the supply is going to be gone by the time that hits, and that there's going to be a major squeeze, like huge squeeze. At a minimum right now, you're looking at a massive squeeze on it that's going to cause a price spike coming up next month, if not by September at the latest. Like, there's already a huge squeeze, and it's going to be squeezed even harder. One of the main things that people look at when it comes down to this, let's see here. Let me get like another one opened up. I don't know how Yahoo took over my browser. Another thing that people end up looking at this, right, is the gold to silver ratio that they end up having. And right now it's dropped just a little bit. I think it's down in like 80. Yeah, there you go. So now it's like 87, right? And historically, when you look back at this, if I was able to like creep the timeline all the way back and we look at that, your gold to silver ratio, like here it is in freaking, what is it, February, ended up spiking all the way up to like 120, which ended up causing a lot of this. And then it kind of like came down a little bit, and then it ended up spiking back up. But silver's at, I think, or I'm sorry, gold is currently sitting at over $3,400 an ounce. It's risen like over $100 in the last week. And so that ratio is sitting around like 85. Now, like when all of this stuff historically happened, I have to go back and ask, like ChatGPT to pull up the numbers, but I believe the GSR ends up normally dropping to around like 40 and stuff when there's like a price correction in the market, which would mean either gold has to go way down or silver has to go way up in order to kind of get it there. And in order to have like that correction sit there, you're looking at like 60 to 70 bucks an ounce, something in that general direction for this like correction to take place, like worst case scenario by the end of the year. But the thing is that price range is like, if you go back to the 80s, when this happened, it went up to like 50 bucks an ounce. I think it was like 1981 when the Hunt brothers ended up buying a bunch, and they ended up basically like trying to screw over the paper market. It ended up causing a squeeze, and it went up to $50 an ounce. And that's like at inflationary rates, right? And if you look at inflationary rates from today, I'm sorry, not with inflationary rates, that was just dollar back then. And if you look at inflationary rates for today with that same type of squeeze right now, it's not quite there, but it's getting to that point. Those inflationary rates today would be like $180 an ounce, I think, roughly. My memory serves me correct. So that's going to cause a huge shock to the market. Huge. If it actually ends up doing that. I don't think it will. I think that like banks, the government, et cetera, are going to try to step in and try to keep that from happening. But like the thing that I've been noticing over the last month is that when it starts to get up a little bit higher, like COMEX is buying, trying to like get these contracts, and it's just not working. The prices continue to increase, and the demand, look at that chart, demand is continuing to go through the roof. And if that keeps up for another month, they're done. They're going to have to dip into reserves. They're going to be dry. Their vault's going to be dry. They're basically going to be buying it from banks. That's my major concern. And if anybody else other than Pal the Printer has anything to say on this, like, I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd love to talk to somebody on this. Like, honestly, if any of you guys have any insight, if any of you guys have been tracking this is something that I really want to know about. I'm looking at the chat over in YouTube. I see you guys in there. But yeah, it's literally goes down to the ability to make bullets and supplies. But if this happens and it causes a shock, you're talking about, you know, 10 to 15% inflation this year. Like interest rates spike again. Jim says two brothers in the early 80s tried to manipulate the price of silver, went into bankruptcy. Can you buy all the PMGs? You can, but if it sits on the floor in a warehouse and not used, it loses its value. Now, you're right. And the deal is that it's not two people that are buying it up right now. It's literally just the global demand because of things like solar panels and EVs and all of this new like demand that's out there. And that's the other thing, you know, people are saying that COMEX was trying to control the price of it because all of this demand for where it's like basically the demand, the industrial demand for it is surging. And they've been in a net shortfall with how much we've been producing versus how much is actually being used. And it's not very much that ends up getting used, right? I think like an EV only has like a couple ounces in it, right? Like a Tesla has only got a couple ounces in it throughout the entire vehicle. That's not that big of a deal. But when you start talking about things like solar panels and all of this other electronics, your computer, your iPhone, you know, et cetera, that's using little minuscule amounts of this and the amount that's actually going out, the use like the production, the economical use of this stuff versus what's being produced is way lower than it needs to be. Like, we are outpacing, we are using way more of it than we're pulling out of mines, which is why the US is trying to soak all of this crap up with all of these deals, because we're using too much of it. We're using more than is being pulled out of the ground. And the problem is that it's in like tiny little electronics, right? Like, think about it. Like, just look at this room alone. The camera, like, well, you guys can't see the room I'm in, but I got multiple cameras. I got multiple, you know, monitors. Like, all of this crap all has like little minuscule amounts. And it's not cost effective to take that. Like, it would be like gold. Even gold is like, meh, but it's not cost effective for them to take it, scrap it, and then reuse it. So it all just gets thrown away. And so it's just getting burnt. Does that make sense? Oh, good. Pal's got his hand raised. Thank God. All right, pal. I am dying to hear from you, buddy. Can't wait to hear what you got to say. I actually want to hear what you think about this, because this is like freaking me out pretty bad. Go ahead, brother. Pal, thanks for coming up, man.
Yeah, this discussion's been going on for like 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Like, everything you've already brought up.
But like
as far as demand, as far as how leveraged people are, as far as the paper market versus the actual supply, as far as miners, like, this is an old discussion, and everyone for years has been saying, oh yeah, like, it's going to cause a big problem, and it never does.
Yep. I understand that. Right. And it's never a big problem until it is. And right now it looks like it's about to be a big problem. Like, I know, like, historically people have been looking at that, and I know, like, the guys that have been hoarding this crap for like years are cheering it on, and I'm not trying to like panic anybody into it, but like, the fact remains with COMEX and the demand on COMEX. Like in your opinion, I guess, what would be the result if COMEX ends up having to dip into reserves next month because they will be completely sold out? Pal?
I'm sorry, I was muted.
Oh, you're good, brother.
Honestly, I don't know 100% what'll happen, but I really don't think it's going to be an issue.
When they default on contracts, you don't think that'd be an issue either?
I just don't think they're going to default.
I mean, the chances of them defaulting are pretty low, right? But like, the price, in my opinion, at least, is going to skyrocket. Like, the price is going up. Like, that's going to happen. And it's very telling that the US currently under Trump, who's very money-minded individual, and just like Texas had pointed out, he's like, anybody that comes after the US dollar is going to be in serious trouble. Or I forget what the heck he said, but like, the US buying or US getting and securing deals to get 100 to 200 billion ounces of that crap is pretty telling. And COMEX is about to be out.
I think that right now silver is just catching up to the price of gold, because gold has been on an absolute tear and silver was lagging behind it.
Okay. So let's look at it from that perspective then. Do you think that a lot of the demand is just from people that are trying to get it in order to like wait for that ratio to drop so that they can make money on it? Cause I mean, that's huge demand, bro. Like, that's, I mean, wherever that chart's at, pull that back. I mean, that is massive amounts of demand.
Honestly, no, I don't think it's like small investors.
What's causing just like that massive spike?
Mom and pop. It's going to be all industrial or institutional traders.
So the industrial traders are pulling it all to hold on to the physical so that they can continue to produce, would be my assumption on that. Cause that's what I was reading on basically, is that they're worried that they're not going to be able to get it. So that's why they're cashing out right now, is so that they can take it and stack it. Like Tesla might start buying a buttload up, is something that I heard today. And so if they're
I haven't heard about Tesla, but I think most of it's just going to be like, honestly, like, most of it's going to be coming from banks.
Right.
It's not going to be companies. It's all going to be through banks.
Do you think,
or like JP Morgan, or, I mean, just pick one of those.
Do you think banks would be doing, like, what would be the purpose of banks doing this? If you don't mind me asking.
So banks have historically just manipulated the price of silver because it's the easiest precious metal to manipulate and you can get crazy leverage on it.
So they're looking to make money on it by squeezing it.
They'll wait for like your mom and pop investors to invest in it, and then they'll dump it.
Interesting.
Once the price goes up.
Interesting. Where do you think that they're like, do you think they're going to wait till it hits that 50 mark and then dump it back and then all of this goes away?
I think there's almost no shot it goes to 50 in the next couple of months.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like crazy when I look at it and it's like comics is about to be dried out. Like, and it kind of makes sense with what you're saying that the banks are taking it and hoarding it because that's who comics is going to have to get it from in order to deliver, which would drive the price up and they make more money on it. But at the same time, like if it's got, is that going to have any inflationary problems here in the United States, I guess, in your opinion?
I mean, I don't think it'll have anything to do with inflation. I think inflation is kind of cooked into our economy right now, where we're going to be sitting at least 5% per year, like year over year.
Jeez. What's but it historically?
I don't think the silver and gold will have anything to do with it.
In a good economy, what's inflation normally at? Like 2.5, 3, something like that?
Yeah, like 2 is ideal.
Yeah. And so sitting at 5, like the economy sucks, which... Now let's bring that up when we're talking about the Trump admin saying that the economy is better than ever. And you said that we're 5% right now. Like,
I don't want to quote exactly what we're at right now, but I think we've been sitting at like 5% year over year, at least for the last 2 years.
Jeez. Okay. So what, in your opinion, can people do? Cause while we just sat here and talked about this forever, what in your opinion can people do to protect themselves?
I mean, stay with the U.S. dollar, definitely. As far as protect yourself, get a good job.
And... keep working hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Don't quit working yet. Investing is good, too. I mean, if you can... So inflation is normally less than what the stock market will go up in a year. And the more inflationary... It sounds weird, but that's good for the stock market.
Whoa, hold on.
Just because there's like more of a money supply.
So inflation's good for the stock market.
Yeah, because... Okay, you know how Jerome Powell is like cutting rates and keeping everything super low and... Like, he keeps talking about cutting rates. So everyone keeps investing in the stock market. And if inflation's going on, you want your money in the stock market. Because it's like the stock market will go up 10%. Inflation will go up 5%. You still make 5%.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
And then inflation is also based on like the money supply. So let's say there's $100 in the US economy. Inflation, 5%. Now there's $105 in the U.S. economy. So then that extra $5 is normally going into the stock market.
Interesting. Okay. Are we seeing
any stock prices go up because there's more money?
Are we seeing more money like pushing into the stock market right now as opposed to going down? Do you know?
Can you rephrase your question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was really confusing. Are we seeing an increase of people investing in the stock market, or are we seeing people pulling money out of their stock market right now?
No, I'm talking about like macroeconomics, like just in general, not right now. But as money goes in, the stock market will go up. As the money supply increases, the stock market will go up. If the US dollar is getting inflated a ton, people are putting more money into stocks in general, like macroeconomics.
Okay, cool. All right. So invest in the stock market and keep working your butt off.
Yeah. And have a good job.
You got
with all that being said, I have all puts right now. So don't take any of my advice.
You have what?
Puts. Or like, I'm shorting the stock market.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair. All right. Any stocks people to stay away from investing in right now in your advice?
Anything you see on Reddit, stay away. All of the zombie companies, stay away.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then
precious metals, I mean, they've just been ripping. So I don't really see silver catching up with gold, or I think no. Gold's going to pull back.
Do you really?
And then that's how silver's going to catch up to it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. How long gold's been holding that price for a long time though, right? Like a year and a half, like above 3K. I think gold's been holding above 3K for like a year and a half because it had a big boom not that long ago. What do you think about crypto for everybody out there? I know Texas loves his crypto. What do you think about crypto as far as like the US dollar goes and what the US government just signed on the other day?
I mean, as far as crypto goes, I would just say use the money you're willing to burn. But also, I keep like, I don't know, like 1-5% of my money in crypto. So
that's fair. Do you think
it's like, hey, if you lose it, you lose it, but it could be a huge bag if it works out.
I was listening to, who was it? Gary Cardone the other day. And number one, the people that are like Bitcoin fans are huge Bitcoin fans, but he was bringing up like Solana, if I remember right, saying it's got huge upsides, whatever, and that he's not paid by them or anything like that. But I don't know, to be perfectly honest, like where everything's going. Do you think that eventually everything's going to end up going kind of like the crypto route, or you think the US dollar is going to kind of like stay where it's at? And do you think if BRICS ends up developing a currency, do you think that they're going to look at the crypto route?
I think BRICS is never going to become a thing. Like, no. None of those countries will be able to cooperate with each other. And then, yeah. Like, one of the main players, I mean, I mentioned this in the chat, but like Saudi Arabia, they will never, right, ever trade an AR for a Teemo weapon.
Right. That's valid, man. Hey, did you hear what I said about the UAE threatening to deport all the Afghans that came under refugee status from Afghanistan by the end of the month?
No, I didn't. I joined late.
Yeah. So I think I brought that up yesterday. UAE was saying, is what I got told the other day, is that they're about to start deporting all their freaking Afghans, and basically told them to find a new home by the end of the month, and that those Afghan refugees are going to end up going back to Afghanistan, like deported back to Afghanistan, where obviously they're going to get their heads cut off by the Taliban for working with the US. So that's a problem. Who'd we just bring up? I'm sorry. Super Elite, what you got?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. What's up?
All right, Coolio, I was just listening to you asking for investing advice, and you mentioned crypto, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you the one that will fucking... I forget my French. I will skyrocket through the roof anytime soon. It's already doing it. It's called XRP.
Yeah. Oh, weird. Texas, really, how do you feel about XRP?
I literally almost brought it.
Say what?
Sorry, hold on. I had to catch myself there. I didn't hear. What was the... Before I say what I feel about XRP, what was the...
Okay,
what,
Super Elite just came up. Go ahead, Super Elite.
I'm pretty much recommending it. Did I miss something? Did you have a bad experience?
Oh, no, no. I've been recommending it for 3 years now. I actually put pretty much my life savings in 23 in XRP,
same
held long, and I'm still holding long. So I bought, thank God, XRP is where it is, and it's where it's going, because I'm a believer, and I'm holding long. I'm not getting excited making a couple of bucks.
Let me go ahead and put this into an analogy you'll understand, right? Okay, for everybody who doesn't understand what it is, right? When's the last time you sent somebody money via Swift, right? It takes like 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes a week to get to the other person.
Matt,
go ahead,
does it
Texas.
Sound like an echo?
Go ahead, Tech. Why don't you guys explain Swift for everybody, or... Yeah.
Go ahead. You go ahead and explain it. I'm on another line. Go ahead.
Okay, so it takes like 3-4 days for the money to get to the destinatory account, right? With XRP, and plus they charge you a bunch of money. They charge you a fee for it. And they wait until the exchange rate is favorable for the bank based on what you're sending, what they're receiving. XRP is pretty much like comparing internet speeds in like 1998 to internet speeds today. It's going to do that to the entire banking system. Bank of Japan has jumped on. Bank of Korea is going to soon jump on. I mean, like, dude, more and more and more banks are jumping on to put the system together. And a lot of people in the crypto world don't like this because there is, there's no anonymity with this. It's like you have a ledger. And it's got KYC built in. So, I mean, this thing kind of, let's just say terrorists wouldn't be using it to try and move money around.
Mm-hmm.
Or criminals or the cartels, you know what I mean? For obvious reasons based on how it's structured. So it's really an institutional tool that it's going to go big.
So and just to manage expectations, I like also did a deep dive into that, looking into it and with like, all the shares, or I'm sorry, all the coins and all that crap that they end up having for XRP. Is XRP CoinShare? I'm not huge in the crypto space, but basically, if it was largely adopted by banks and used to transfer funds and all of that crap, they're saying that the max it's going to go up to is like 25-30 on that. How do you feel about that?
That's bullshit. Bullshit. I can eat about 100.
I think it's going to go to three digit, and I'm even saying four digits. I am telling you, Matt, I'm holding long on this. The amount of research I've done, XRP is a crypto that defines everything what crypto is supposed to be, but it still works just as good or even better than any other crypto transaction. So if legal transactions that needs to be legalized, like legal transaction that needs to be undocumented, like actual paper trail transactions, like every bank transaction, you have to pay taxes and all your things, you have to keep record of everything. If the biggest problem why banks are not integrating crypto is because crypto is obviously a ledgerless type of transaction. There's nothing. It generates a code. The code is gone by the time the money is sent. There's no like, oh, I want to refund. None of that. But XRP does the same thing. But they have the option of integrating it into proper banking system, integrating it into US. Like, I just sent somebody a regular wire transfer about 2 hours ago from my US bank account. I logged in, I put his routing number, account number to another US bank account, and it's already it'll take a day. If I do it before 2 p.m., it'll be the same day, but it's hours to go through a small transaction of a couple of $1,000. Now, I can do the same transaction and multiply it by a million. I can send $1 million. It'll be there within, like, by the time you refresh your page, you'll already see it might not show up there that second. It might take another second to actually be in your balance, but in your transaction history, you will already see that came into your wallet. And if banking systems can integrate that, if governments can integrate that, you know how much money the US government spends a year on just processing money, like processing transactions?
No.
Every transaction, a lot. This is part of what they were. This is part of what Doge was screaming. This is part of what Elon was screaming. You spend so much money, millions of dollars in fees to process transactions. Think about all the payments that they have to make, all the employees that are under government employees, all the state funds that they have to fund, all the grants that all of these things get processed. And there's a pay. They have to obviously pay whatever bank they make that transaction with. They have to pay that fee, just like everybody else pays a fee on processing.
Mm-hmm.
When you integrate that, imagine I'm Chase, and I say, now you can send $100 million from your account, as long as you have that money available, for free within a second to another account. Imagine that happens. When it reaches that level, it might take years. It will take years. Well, I'm realistic. It will take years.
It's not crazy, because when, like, if banks were to integrate it, like, if I want to send money to somebody outside of USAA, like, USAA inside of their app now has Zelle, right? So banks are kind of quasi leaning in that direction as is.
Yeah. But this is the problem. Is this is a crypto platform to be used. When it uses Zelle is just a mediator. Zelle is like, okay, we'll charge your
account. It's like PayPal.
We have your account on Yeah, they have a deal that is a license with the actual bank to integrate that into the bank. That's why some banks have it, some banks don't. This is something different. They're not even going after every bank right now. What XRP is trying to do is integrate it into SWIFT for international transfers. This is what I was telling you the other day on the phone when we were talking. Mm-hmm. SWIFT processes billions. You can look it up. Go ask ChatGPT right now. How much money does SWIFT process per day? Billions. Like, it's insane numbers. How much money how much money transactions
I think does... $1 trillion, dude, per day?
How much?
Over $1 trillion. I'd say over a trillion. Swift, the entire
how much money does Swift process per day in transactions? Let's find out. ChatGPT is about to kick me out a number.
And then if the goal is that they're saying, let's say Swift adopts it for only 5 trillion?
5 to 6 trillion US dollars a day. That's a lot of money.
Do you understand if they only process 25% of those transactions through the XRP platform, what that will do?
And another thing, think of those processing fees for that 5-6 trillion every day. How much in processing fees, right?
It's $30 to send an average SWIFT transfer. It costs $30.
Yeah.
Well, so right now, I mean, the trading volume in the last 24 hours on XRP, I just looked it up down here, is just under $500 million. It's like $468 million.
There you go.
So, yep. That alone.
And this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to grow it to the point where they have the capabilities of doing this type of processes. And if they do that, and when they do that, now XRP is going a step further. XRP is going a step further by avoiding some regulations and not regulations, but red tape for this to happen by doing. We're applying for our own banking license. So now we're a bank. So now, if we want to do anything with other banks, it's just like a bank doing transactions for another bank. It's different than a private. So there's so many things happening. XRP has been fighting a battle of a lawsuit with SEC for years, and we knew that it was nonsense.
Like, kind of like Ukraine and Russia, huh?
No, it's different because
I can listen to you guys go off on this forever, but that's like the big if. So
right now,
just a question.
Like,
what makes
XRP?
You guys, so what makes you guys think that, just out of random question, right? And this is like the last I'm going to touch on it. What makes you guys think Swift is going to adopt it? Like, what signs have you seen?
Because it's faster. Speed.
Because it's free.
Instead of moving 5 to 6 trillion a day, you'll be moving 8. Has
there been any signs? Has there been any talks between the companies? Like, that's what I'm talking about. So, like, what is that?
You're talking about the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, probably does through his obviously monies, through his companies and everything that he owns, probably does 1 trillion of those $6 trillion through SWIFT. Because if you realize, everything is international. SWIFT is used for international everything. Saudi has sat on a conference stage and said, they were talking, and he said he can't wait for the day that Swift adopts XRP. Because when that happens, they save money, they save time, and it's efficiency for the same exact thing. It's just obviously anything to adopt something that's new to what we are not used to, especially something that involves multiple trillion dollars per day. It's gonna be something that's not gonna happen overnight. It's not gonna be most people are gonna wake up and just be like, oh yeah, you know what, let's change what we've been doing for the last 25 years. No, it's gonna take time, but everything adopts. Like when you same thing come with electric cars. People said, I'll never own an electric car, I'll try an EV just as a sidecar. It takes years and years of, like, it gets better, and they realize, like, I remember when Zelle was only with Chase, you could not use Zelle with any other bank. It was Chase to Chase sending instant money. It's crazy because here in Europe I can send from my European account to another card. I can send from card to card. In America you don't have that. You don't have the option of sending from card to card.
Okay, so
Zelle was a massive thing when it came out, but
so you guys like didn't? I don't think you answered it. So Ripple's CEO. So Ripple is Swift, right? So there's not a confirmed.
Not Ripple isn't Swift.
Like Ripple's the parent. I'm sorry, Ripple's XRP. Yeah. So Ripple's CEO, did Ripple CEO Brad Garlinghouse has mentioned that XRP. Say what?
Yeah.
Has mentioned that XRP could capture up to 14% of Swift transaction volume within 5 years. It's a forecast and not a confirmed deal. And then it cites all sorts of different sources, right? And he stated that in what, June of 25? And then Swift expressed interest in blockchain interoperability, yep, testing Chainlink, but no official testing. So there's been no confirmed partnership, but yeah, they have been in communication. That is true.
Obviously, well, if it was a confirmed partnership, Ripple's at over 100 right now. XRP's over 100 right now.
The chart on XRP. Look at the chart for the last month. Pull that up. Show everyone.
He knows that because he's watched the chart for the last month. Like, it's not like it's a secret, and it's obviously like we've been tracking. But I gotta go now because I have another call I have to go deal with. Okay. I'm gonna jump off. Yeah, it was good chatting with you guys. Like he said, don't put your life savings on crypto. Put whatever you can on the proper cryptos because you might be the next Bitcoin billionaire. You know, you never know.
Who knows? Yeah. Thanks, Texas. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, later. Can I bring up one counterpoint and then Send it. The finance conversation?
Please.
Yeah. So my only counterpoint to everything Texas said, which like I like crypto, so I'm not ripping on Texas or anything like that. But my only counterpoint is what would stop any government from just making their own XRP because they already have the source code for it? And then they don't want to give up control of like finances and tracking. And I guess another counterpoint would be they already can track every cryptocurrency you can think of.
Sure.
Other than like two of them. So they don't want to give up the power and they can already track it. So.
Or what would stop a bank from developing that?
Yeah.
Well, this thing pretty much gives the government all of that power, specifically being integrated with the banks. Like you have KYC on every coin. You know, I bought mine through my bank, and it's gone to my account. Like that XRP is there, so it's written on the ledger within. It's not so much a blockchain; it's a ledger that so and so bought X amount of XRP at this price at this date. Boom, from this account. And there's a big paper trail right there. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what governments are into. They want to know, where's the money coming from? Where's the money going to? I mean, you know, if you get more than like $6,000 sent to you, you know, and you bank at Bank of America, the worst bank in the world. I hate that. Okay. But that's enough said about Bank of America. They'll ask you, they'll play 20 questions with you. Where did you get this money from? What are you going to use it on? Something like XRP, they don't need to. We know what you're going to spend it on.
And I guess my counterpoint to that is, the government always sucks at screwing. Like they suck when it comes to money and screwing things up. Like they have kind of screwed a lot up. Like that's the whole point of what we've been talking about today. Like the fact that silver thing is a problem just to begin with, and the U.S. government's like trying to acquire up to 200 billion ounces this year. Between 100 to 200 billion just to keep that market going. Like their market regulation on it has just kind of sucked and how they go. And so I think that, you know, a big fear of people would be that the government would screw that up just as well. And when you add in the word crypto on top of it, I think that would scare the crap out of a lot of people.
For most things, I mean, like, dude, you got to understand, like, there's Solana, right? You know, all these stupid meme coins that pump up in value and go down real quick. They're all made through Solana. That's what Solana does. That's a meme. That's a coin I would not invest in. It's not a meme coin. It's where all the meme coins come from.
Weird.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the more you know. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate that. This is like seriously, because you know, Powell, you've been hanging out for a while. You didn't have to come in and. Yeah, you know, talk about all this stuff, and I really appreciate it. Same thing, super light and or super elite and Texas. Obviously, he's gone now, but got one more hand up. So Muttley's got either questions or statements, and I would love to hear from Muttley on this one. What you got, Muttley?
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I got into you late. I was dealing with some other things this morning, and I just caught about the first 10 minutes of your member thing. So if I'm coming in and repeating anything or covering things that you've already did, please just let me know.
Okay.
I got a degree in economics. I work in finance.
Perfect.
Okay. I've been working on a thesis on this for quite some time. When I learned about charting, you know, you would always focus on certain things in finance. And somebody says, look to the left, look to the left. What does it mean? You look at a chart, well, you go back further and you try finding patterns.
Right.
Okay. There's all kinds of patterns within the financial world. And right. There's also cycles. Right now, we're at the precipices of a change in cycles. We're at a divergence point.
Okay.
If you read between the lines of what Trump is doing, and then some shit. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
What he's doing is he's attacking everything that has attacked him. Okay.
Okay.
He's changing the geopolitical landscape. He's changing the financial landscape. Also, the tariffs are a tool that he's using to massage the geopolitical into the financial, right? He wants to take away the pressure on Joe and Jack and Jill out there. Finance, housing's too expensive. There's no, the banks don't want to lend, okay? If you go back and you look at the historical timeline, when did everything start going to shit? Once the federal government put in the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and all that crap. And that came out of, you know, the robber barons of the turn of the century, right? Mm-hmm. So they basically took control of everything in the background. Trump's declared war on all these people. Did you notice his comment about Shylocks?
No.
Well, that came out a couple weeks ago, and it has to do with, you know, some people were trying to get him by saying, oh, it's anti-Semitic, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's derogatory going back to the Merchant of Venice and what have you. But it's a street term. It's, you go to the Shylock to borrow money at a 20% VIG, and if you don't pay him the end of the week, it goes up another 120% and so mm-hmm. on. He got screwed in the 1980s, and he got a bad reputation. The reason he got screwed was because he would run between New York City and Atlantic City. Now, I'm a Jersey boy, okay? So I know this the back of my hand. You could probably tell in my voice, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, there was a helicopter crash. His top three financial people died going back and forth between AC and New York. Okay. He was screwed. He didn't know, he didn't have the depth of the knowledge that they had across the board. So how did he get out of it? He went into the debt markets and borrowed junk bonds. They were paying 11 to 13% for him to borrow money back in the late 80s, early 90s. Well, no, it would have been the 90s, I guess. I'm dating myself also here.
Okay.
So anyway, he's got to burr up his butt about them. Okay?
Okay.
His first administration, everybody went against him. You know, he had a lot of, we'll call them rats mm-hmm. within it. And he's basically, he's playing 3D chess. He's at a different level.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying for forever. Like, there's crap that he's been doing behind the scenes that's,
Yeah. And some of the things that he says in public is meant to be deceptive in certain ways. But there's methods to his madness, per se. And everything he does, I kind of can see this. What the bottom line is, we're going to see a change in the financial system. Now, you know, you're talking about the silver and the demand on silver and so much. Well, you know, yeah, there's always going to be a demand because it's needed in the manufacturing right. aspects and what have you. And a lot of the markets are based upon paper.
Yeah.
The debt markets are also paper.
Right.
So Janet Yellen and company and Bernanke and all these other brilliant people, a lot of people don't realize this, but the Federal Reserve is not a federal agency. It's a private agency owned by the banks.
Okay.
There is the government aspect where the president can pick the head of it. So they have some, how we might say, a figurehead that says that the government is involved in it, but they have no bearing on it. Okay, it's all about the banks and going back to the robber barons and what have you. You know, they set this up. It's a big boy club.
Right.
And this big boy club kind of screwed Trump. So Trump's declared war on all of these different things. Now, when he came out with the tariffs, what did you see in the financial markets? The financial markets shook. Well, why did they shake? Something called carry trades, where they go to one country where the interest rates are really cheap and they borrow money and they go into the markets that's moving and put the money in. In this case, it was the U.S. and they were following the AI build out and the data centers and what have
you. Right. Yeah.
So when they changed that, it changed their financial calculus. Okay.
All right.
Where did the money go? A lot of it, you can look at the currency exchanges and see this. A lot of the money went to Europe. Now, he's got to burr up his butt about the Europeans and what's called the Euro-dollar market. It's basically a market that controls a lot of things, okay? So you have, like, basically three players there. So he's kind of declared war on all of them. So Janet Yellen and company issued a tremendous amount of short-term treasury debt.
Okay.
And to the tune of like $9 billion that was due within the first 9 months of this year. So he's dealt with that. There was one bad auction. What my thesis is he's taking all of these things and he's going to come out with a new type of bond, treasury bonds.
Okay.
They're going to be based upon physical silver, physical gold, stable coins, and other assets such as mineral rights. Sitting all of this federal land out west, you know, I think the federal government owns like 60% of the land from the Mississippi to the Pacific. Within there is a tremendous amount of resources.
Yeah, there is.
Oil, gas, gold, silver, magnetic properties, what have you. But they've been repressed from
legislation. Like regulation. Yeah, and Nate Vance is down there, and I almost want to pull him up to bring up like oil, because what I got told about oil from doing leadership courses and stuff like that within the oil and gas industry was that underneath U.S. soil, there is enough oil to last us indefinitely if they allow it, like the U.S. to actually like pull it out of the soil.
Yeah.
But it's the regulation that's like kept people from doing that.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, not like 300 years, not to mention coal, too, on top of that.
Right.
So,
but the U.S. government's kept it down.
My thesis is basically that they're going to come out with a new kind of treasury bill, and he's going to kind of screw everybody that's played with him. If you see everything he's done across the board in different areas, it all goes back to that aspect of it, that there is a tremendous weakness within the financial markets, the capital markets, which is the borrowing of money, big corporations borrowing money.
It's paper. You know, they're just trading the paper back and forth and building up.
Exactly.
Via paper.
Exactly. So what are they doing? You got BRICS coming in, you know, everybody's screaming about BRICS, you know, and that's something that Goldman Sachs created. And they just put bonds all into that one category, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, because they were very shaky and what have you. So what I'm seeing is there's going to be a new bond issuing that's going to have actual assets behind it. That's going to shake the financial markets globally. It's going to destroy the European royalists, as we'll call them, Euro market. It will crush China. And it will propel our power here to people wanting to borrow and lend money to the U.S. government. So you're going to see a change in the entire.
Like, do you think that's why the U.S. government's doing what it's doing with all of these like mineral rights deals? Because I was shocked to see how much like physical assets were like quickly acquiring. Like that was just happening behind the scenes and nobody's talking about it. And so, if that's the case, what does that mean for our country? What's that mean for the strength of the US dollar and everything else? And what time frame do you predict him doing this? Because he's only got like, what, 3 years left in office, right? This one's pretty much chewed up.
Faster than you realize, probably before the end of the year, I think they'll have some kind of issuance, probably in the third quarter, which is September, beginning of the fall. It's going to cause a lot of upheaval, because anytime you make a drastic change, you get people running with chickens without a head, trying to figure out what's going on and where to go, where not to go. You're seeing some of this play out in the financial markets now with the stable coins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're whatever they put in the Genius Act are going to be basically the ones where the SEC are going to create rules and what have you. Personally, I think Trump spent 4 years coming up with a plan and how to deal with it. And everything he does has been choreographed up to this point. And he's probably got another 6 steps that have been choreographed. So everything out there is done specifically for a reason. Whether you understand it or not, a lot of it is to play with and to bring out these quote-unquote rats out there, including the mainstream media, where they're getting egg on their face and they can't be trusted. Why? Because they don't like him. Why? Because personally, I think it goes back to the deep state. He's declared war against them, as they have declared war against every one of us.
So with all of that being said, right, like, I guess, with the stuff that I was talking about earlier today, I was looking at it because I'm like, U.S. government's going to have to basically bail out COMEX to keep the U.S. dollar stable. Let's go the route that you're saying, that the U.S. government's acquiring all that basically to screw over that paper market, right? If that's the case, who has the authority to issue those like bonds out? Like, does the president, or does that need to get passed by Congress? That's something I've never looked into. And you two guys in the financial market, I'm asking y'all. Like,
that's what's changing, Matt, and that's what's going to change. And, you know, if they come out and they say, well, we're going to issue new bonds, new type of bonds that have actual physical backing to it, you're going to change the market completely. And I believe that's up to the Treasury to do. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not sure. I have to dive into that a little bit. But
that
would be my take on it.
Who can approve the bonds? Like who authorizes new U.S. bonds?
Yeah, I believe it's the Treasury
Secretary.
Yeah, you know, the Treasuries, they issue 30-day bills.
Right.
60-day, 45-day, 90-day. They're all different levels. And you use some of the issues as guideposts, like a 2 year as a guidepost, a 10 years a guidepost, a 20 year, 30 year. If you look at what's happened in like Japan, they have the quote unquote, the lost decade. But what did they do with their bonds? They issued longer duration bonds. They go out to like 50 years. You're seeing the same thing happen in China, where China's going out 40 and 50 years. Well, that means that there's a lot of pressure to grow and they need the capital to grow. But there's not enough resources to pay it back within that time frame. So what are they doing? They're pushing it out. And again, what is it? It's nothing more than paper and the word behind it. You're buying an IOU.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So how do you make it attractive? By putting some kind of asset behind.
Congress, via constitutional authority, Congress has the sole right. It's like, how many times have you read that, right? Ultimate power to authorize borrowing rests at Congress, right? Congress has the power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Congress sets the statutory debt ceiling, blah 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 blah.
It goes to the Treasury to do
it, right? And it goes to the Treasury in order to do it. So I asked, what would it look like if they were going to do that? And it says, U.S. Constitution gives Congress, not the president, the sole authority to coin money, regulate the value thereof, borrow money, blah, 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 blah. Required steps to do it, you said, Trump or any president would need Congress to draft and pass legislation authorizing the Treasury to issue precious metal backed securities, define the structure, and then debt management adjustment, obviously, through the Federal Reserve Act. And then the Reserve would need to back it. And then it all gets kicked out by the Treasury, basically. So, yeah, there would have to be legislation that ends up passing that. And, like, he would have to go and get that approval through Congress.
Take a step back and think about when Elon was involved and they wanted to go to Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's in Fort Knox?
Gold.
And silver.
Wanted to see what we're actually holding.
Why'd that get quieted real quiet?
There's
been also big adjustments of physical gold that was being sent to the U.S. over a good 45-day period, like 2 months ago. You know, and that's building up your reserves. Now that the banks know something, they always know. They're 10 steps ahead of everybody else. They know what's going on, and if you follow what they do, you're going to end up in a good place. But I think he's going to rug pull them like they rug pull everybody else.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, like, it's definitely setting the stage for it. I mean, I looked at it from one perspective, and what you're saying isn't, I mean, it's not far off from imagination. Tom says, Tom Bones, the Federal Reserve Bank is actually illegal because there is a provision in our Constitution that states no private owned institution shall have the authority to print our money.
Yep. And what do? They create money.
If we end up creating legislation that gives them the authority to do it, though.
Why do you think he's after Powell?
Yeah.
Powell's nothing more than a talking head. You know, he's a lawyer. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, he's a lawyer. And he runs the Federal Reserve. Why? Because he's got his head up his ass in that institution.
Yeah.
He's a good old boy from the banking industry. It's a facade, basically. And it goes back again to what I said earlier, to the robber barons of the turn of the century, the creation of the IRS and the Federal Reserve Bank. What happened after that? The value of the dollar went to shit.
Tom says it went straight down. Tom says the only reason that bill passed is because Congress was in recess. And I think it passed, what, like 2 a.m.? And all the politicians who were going to vote against it weren't there. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. If I remember right.
I've been involved in other stuff. I haven't gotten down into the micro of it.
I haven't looked at it in depth at all. Yeah. At all. But
I'm more of a macro thinker. And I've been putting this together for a while. There's a guy out there on YouTube. His name is Tom Longo. He also thinks the same way. He's considered, you know, crazy. And whenever anyone's considered crazy by the mainstream, pay attention to them because they probably got their pulse on something that the mainstream doesn't want you to know.
You know, that is like the one thing that, well, I actually agree with Tucker Carlson on a couple things. Like, throw a dart enough times, you're bound to hit the bullseye, right? Throw a dart enough time, you're bound to hit the bullseye. But like,
yeah, right.
Vastly, like, the one thing that I agree with is, like, mainstream media is bought out. Like, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all of them. And it's very clear. And I remember watching it back under the Obama administration, where it used to be like they would all be reporting accurately on things. But just things like I brought up today, like, hey, this appears to be a massive freaking issue. Can somebody please look into this? You know what I mean? And get people like you guys that have variants of opinions on what the hell is happening in the world to arm people with information. Like, what I said today is factual. Like, COMEX silver supply next month is going to be depleted and they're going to have to dip into the reserves. United States government under the Trump administration has been striking deals to acquire, just this year alone, and it's only July, between 1 and 2 billion ounces of silver. Yeah. Right? Like, that's insane. So what the hell are they doing? Because that's unprecedented.
You need that with the build out of all the data centers and what have you.
Right.
I mean, every circuit board has got silver on it. So what is he doing? Take a step back. And again, like I was saying earlier, when I look at a chart, you know, if you're not sure what you're seeing, go back to the left. Well, what is that? Go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You open yourself up to a little bit higher level, a macro level. and you step back and you step back and you step back, and you can start seeing these different different danglers start coming into play here. And then you can start piecing it together at a different level.
Right.
There's, you know, a lot of people get carried away with the micro. Oh my God, this was said. Oh my God, you know, he stepped on that person's toe. Who cares? Take a step back. Look to the left. What does it mean? Is it a means to another end? And the answer always is, without a doubt, this guy's seven steps ahead. He's got a game plan. He's working. And that's part of the game plan, is to fix all of this self-defeating legislation and what have you. Get rid of the IRS. You know, they're floating out there under 200,000. Nobody pays taxes. You know what? Great. What would that do to the economy? What does a weak dollar do to the economy? The weak dollar makes, excuse me, a weak dollar is very good for us. It means our products become much cheaper to be sold overseas, creating growth at home and demand offshore. Okay, so now you're talking.
Especially if there's no tariffs on either side, which is what he's going for. So yeah, a weak dollar with no tariffs between countries. That's that would be U.S. industry would have to grow to meet the demand.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you're creating demand for certain things. Data centers need power.
Yeah,
they need copper. They need fiber optics, right? Whatever they build, they need the chips to build. You need the high-end chips. You need the low-end chips.
Right.
Where's a lot of this stuff made, right? Why is he making the tariff deals with all of these countries? Which country is getting favored? Who's he calling out with all the tariffs? It's really two people. Everybody thinks it's China, but it's really Europe. He wants to fuck them.
Plain and simple. Over.
And he doesn't want to use Vaseline. And that's what he's doing.
That's interesting.
If you take a step back and look at it, you can see the steps and what do they mean. But as you were getting into your point, that there's more that meets the eye behind the scenes. He wants to screw Europe, but he also wants to screw the Chinese. So he's killing two birds with one stone. What was the third person that came and visited him at this term?
I don't remember.
It was India. Why India?
Major
the soft underbelly of China.
Mm-hmm.
He just put them into a vice. And what did he say in that meeting? I want to give you F-35s.
Right. Well, and that was the same time, like, again, when India and Pakistan were going at it, we ended up backing India and stuff, and Russia selling. Yeah, no, that's before that, right? But yeah, you're right. So we say we're going to do the F-35s. What I'm trying to say is, like, Russia is selling a shitload of their oil over to India. It's like it's a massive chunk. I forget what it is. But the more we partner with India, the more we start cutting them out as well. And just right.
India's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place there. Okay, and a lot of their military stuff comes from Russia. So they still have to get spare parts and what have you. So they have to keep the Russians kind of happy. And they also do need to be seen as being independent by their own political parties. I mean, they're very fractious there in their political parties, and they get crazy.
Oh, dude, listen to this.
You know,
listen to this comment that just came in. It's from true supporter named Wing. He says, "Hey, Matt, late to the party, but rumor mill in Canada is that Trump wants first right to all mineral in Canada, and it's considered a national emergency."
Yep. There you go. Another level to it, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're consolidating all of this stuff, right? In different factions, you're pulling in all these little pieces, man. Now it's coming together into a plan. Well, what's he doing? He's consolidating this. He's pushing out China and what have you. I mean, you can see this in the rare earth. That market has exploded on the domestic side because it's been repressed for so long, because you can't trust China. You can't trust the supply chain.
Well, it kind of creeps me out seeing so I just want to go across the panel real quick with you guys, so I can close this sucker out. It's been an hour and a half and I drank a pot of coffee before I came in. like lost my mind over this. So I've got to go to the bathroom. Just across the board, I'd like to hear you guys' opinions, like your predictions for the year and what you guys are leaning towards and what you guys are doing to protect yourselves, because the economy, it's pretty clear that something's about to happen. I just don't know what, in my opinion anyways. So what are you guys doing? And I guess we'll start
gold,
with
silver,
Muttley.
Stable coins.
Gold, silver, stable coins. Powell, are you still hanging out with us?
Yeah, I will personally donate $10,000 to the channel if what he just said is right.
That'd be freaking wild.
I do not agree with that.
Yeah, and I would I'd ask you maybe to a charity as opposed to the channel. But why don't you agree with it then? And what would you do? I mean, that is a wild prediction. I'm not going to lie. And it would take a lot of legislation to make it happen. And I think that it would, just the drum up of the legislation within itself would cause a lot of turmoil. It's a possibility. I mean, he's getting a buttload of, but yeah, go ahead, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just saying, end of year, that's not going to happen. Like 100% chance that doesn't happen. as far as what you should do, I mean, like I said earlier, just get a good job, keep the job, invest in stocks. And then if you know how to trade, short when you can short. Otherwise, just go long, because stocks go up only.
Nice. Well, Powell, if it does end up going through, kick it over to the Green Brain Foundation, would you please?
Yeah.
All right. All right, who we got next? We got Super Elite. Go for it.
Pretty sound advice from Powell. Like I said, I've already said, I'm heavy into XRP. I do have some gold bars over here as well that I keep hidden in a location that won't be disclosed. But, other than that, with shorting stocks, you really have to know what you're doing, though, and you really have to know the stock. So it's not exactly for beginners. But other than that, yeah, keep your job and keep your head down, going on time. Don't give them a reason for them to get rid of you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. And I appreciate all your guys' time. Thank you guys very much for coming up in your opinion. I know it's like something if you're in the financial market, you like see all this weird crap that's going on right now, and it's not talked about enough, I think. And it affects every single house here in the United States of America. And it has the ability to, like, honestly, I think most wars are sparked over money, if we're going to be honest. So, anyways, thank you guys very much for your time. Every single one of you, I appreciate it. And everybody that joined in and listened.
And thanks for giving us the opportunity, Matt.
Yeah, of course, man. I look forward to doing it again. We'll have to do a follow-up here in like a month or two, just to see where everything's going. So thank you guys. All right, ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for joining me over on YouTube. I know it was kind of like a odd one, but it is something that sparked my interest, and it's something that's causing great concern. As you can see, there's a lot of variance in opinions over inside of like the financial market. People are saying, wow, I mean, it just, the entire thing has blown my mind. I think there's a lot of crap going on behind the scenes that we don't know. And obviously, United States government is up to something, acquiring 1 to 2 billion. It's just an insane amounts that they're ended up like pulling in, right? 100 to 200 billion. That's an insane amount for them to be pulling in. So thank you guys very much. Keep your eyes on it. Let me know if you guys have any updates. Like, I would love to hear from you guys or your thoughts on it. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, peace, love.